Hi, everyone.
We're back. Zach Willis, Quinalo. Benchwarmers week 7? Is this episode 7?
I think so.
Okay. I've slammed my head into too many people for too long. It's poor time to make that joke. I'm sorry. With everything that's going on in the football landscape. But we're here. NDSU coming off big win against Youngstown State for homecoming. And like we said, homecoming lived up to the hype. We had breakfast out there at the Bison Report tailgate. Got to see everybody. Over 18,000, I believe. Closest we've been to a sellout in a long time. So shout out to everybody who came out. It was a good game and always happy to come away with a W on homecoming.
Yeah, I think they played really well too.
Yeah.
I feel like there was I don't know what you want to call it. I feel like they played, that was the most confident that they've looked all year.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a simplification of some stuff. It seemed like the schemes weren't as diverse and all over the place. But I know the first half was really clean, which was, you know, kind of a stray away from the par for what had been.
The first four, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the first four games was a great half. I mean, Drake, but, you know.
Yeah, call that whatever you want. But it seems like everybody played well. I don't think there was anything really catastrophic injury-wise.
I know a couple guys left the game, but we have no idea what the injuries are like right now.
Yeah, I know Kava was in a sling walking around. And then obviously the news broke with our guy Noah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks really bad. I think he's just calling it quits on college, hoping that – I mean, he's an NFL-caliber talent, and he needs to get ready for that as much as he possibly can.
Yeah.
It just sucks that if he played at Iowa or if he played at Minnesota or if he played in at Texas, Alabama, this wouldn't be a hiccup at all for his NFL career. But now he plays at North Dakota State, and it's going to be a lot harder for him to claw back and get ready to play.
Right, and especially – I mean – his best year probably, obviously, was that 2019 year.
Yeah.
But hopefully teams can just go back and look at that film, realize that when he's healthy, the things he can do.
Dude, he's an alien.
Yeah, I still have confidence that he'll get there.
Yeah, me too. I just think
someone's going to give him a shot. You can't look at that guy and not give him a shot, just with the way he – which is how talented he is.
Yeah, it's hard just because, like, I know him personally. He's a good buddy. I consider him a friend. We're in the same class, and – it's just hard to see, you know, obviously the talent and the love that he had for the game. He came back for a sixth. He could have went and basically, as sad as it is to say, been in the position he is now to get ready for the NFL after off an injury. But he came back sixth year, wanted to be a captain for another year, was going to put a cap on a great Bison career. And it's just, it's really unfortunate. Hate to see it for the guy. And I sent this in the group chat today. And just as an overarching theme, you don't need to qualify what team you root for if somebody's injured. You can just be sad that somebody's injured. You don't have to say, you know, I'm not a Bison guy, but I feel bad for Noah. Or, you know, we saw it with Tua, and yeah, guys like.
Those are the funniest posts when people like Tua, and it starts with coming from a Bills fan.
Yeah.
Like, all those are so funny.
Bro, you can be sad.
They tweet underneath of it, and they're like, you know, Jackrabbits fan here, blah, blah, blah. It's like, those are so funny.
Yeah, don't need it. The big one I saw on Twitter was J.J. Watt. Obviously had, like, heart issues and played. Hashtag football guy. But people are like, I don't even know, like, as a Niners fan, this gained a lot of respect. I'm like, you didn't have respect for J.J. Watt before he had his heart shocked. Yeah, we'll get into some Tua conversation. That's always interesting. I think players have a different perspective on it. Maybe not different, but a little more insight into how it's like. And, you know, we can share our point of views on what it's like to see a catastrophic injury. But while we're talking about Pro Bison, our guy playing for our team, Derek Tuska, signed off waivers with the Chargers, coming over from the Titans with the Steelers previously. But obviously, Joey Bosa went down for a significant amount of time, so we added DT to add some bulk to the DN room. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't get these stupid – we never see Chargers games.
Yeah.
Unless they're on the prime CBS slot or obviously Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night.
Or you find a good stream link.
Yeah. I'm not too savvy with those for football. I mean, other things with, like, the fights or whatever. But
yeah, those are easy. You can, like, find a Periscope on Twitter with those, but –
Is this what's going to get us off the thing Ross was talking about?
Probably.
Did that just get us in trouble?
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh, we're leaving it in.
Yeah.
Mostly because we don't want to take the time to go back and cut it out.
I mean, if that's what gets us canceled, then so be it, yeah. I guess.
But I didn't see much of the Chargers game. I knew they were up big and then whatever, but did he get snaps, like, actually, like, on the defensive side, or was he special teams?
Couldn't tell you. I didn't get to watch much of it either. I was just busy on Sunday.
I'm sure, here's the one thing. I'm sure with his hair, he looks so cool in that uniform.
I mean, nobody's looked more like a Cali bro than
That's what I was going to talk about. When I came to NDSU and I saw the Tuska brothers, they both have that, like, curly, long, blonde hair.
Yep.
I could not believe they were from South Dakota.
Yeah.
They look like the least South Dakota people I've ever seen.
Derek looks like he, like, rode a surfboard to the stadium.
Yes.
It's just, that's how those guys, I don't know. I'm excited that it's always good to get Bison on the Chargers or in the NFL in general, but it's always fun when you get to cheer
couple
for
of them
him.
Now.
Yeah, Easton and
it's kind of weird because, like, isn't that where Tanner went? Like, right out to, like, that's where his camp
Kyle Emanuel went there.
Kyle, like, I don't know, got a little something there.
Go Chargers. I want to say either Ramon or Joe Mays ended up in San Diego as well.
Obviously, Mays was big with the Broncos.
But. Yeah. And then our chief Ram, our forever chief Ram, Zeej, signed with the Ravens. Pretty exciting. Obviously, a pretty sporty football team they got out there. So, could be a good chance for him to see the field and win some football games.
Yeah, I'm just hoping all those guys. I can't remember. I was trying to. Kendra put it on a Snapchat story. It was like 8:30 in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to her what life is like as like an NFL like undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what the significance is, but is it after is it going into your fourth year, or do you have to complete your fourth year to get like that?
The pension. I think it's going into your fourth year.
So
you like, get paid forever after
like
that.
Zeej, Tusk, Ben, all these guys like just hoping they're on rosters by the end of the year.
Yeah. We're going to get into some stuff that the NFL obviously does not do well, but that's not one of them. That's a good thing that I think was put in place. Let's chat a little bit more about homecoming. The tailgating scene was unbelievable. I love getting up early and doing it. It was a perfect day, man.
Yeah, perfect day. I mean, when you can get, like, we talked about fall weather a little bit.
Yeah.
That fall weather, when you have a day like that where it's sweatshirt from 8 o'clock till about noon, and then noon you can pull off the sweatshirt and just be completely comfortable.
Yeah.
As the big guys.
Nothing better.
There's nothing better. And that's what Saturday was. And I kind of like the 1 o'clock start.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, you're done by.
I wonder why we're always 2:30. Probably has something to do with TV.
But. Yeah, we went home, or we went to an establishment to eat afterwards.
Yeah, it was like 4:30.
Yeah, I was home by 5. It was nice, and then it was my brother's 21st, so he got to experience downtown, and so I feel old. Monday morning came, storming back. I was hurting on Sunday.
How you're 23?
Yeah.
How old do you feel going downtown?
Really, really old. It's like the feeling I was 2 years into college and went back to high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you all look like you're 14.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are. That's a bad thing. But they look like they're 12. They look like little kids. And now I go downtown and I'm like, what are you doing down here?
Especially when you see someone down there that you know is not 21.
Yeah.
So then you're like, okay, so no one here is actually 21.
Right.
And now me, 25.
You're not allowed downtown. You're old.
Over the hill?
Yeah. You're not allowed downtown.
Yeah. It's like going downtown is, I think the last time I went downtown was last Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
No.
long story short, I stuffed Quinn an Uber at midnight and sent him home.
Had a good time.
Yeah, that was a good time, like you said. Hunter.
Yeah.
Dude, he's unbelievable. It's week in, week out. He's doing stuff that nobody else in the country can do.
Yeah, and you're seeing, like, a lot, obviously T-Roll was on some sicko stuff.
Yeah.
With that, the three fullbacks lined up next to each other.
Yeah.
That gave me a little bit of, like, just terrible high school flashbacks because that's what Cavalier ran.
Sure.
A lot when we were in high school with Brock and, you know, all those.
A fantastic football team.
Yeah. I mean, they were my junior year, or maybe it was my sophomore year. My sophomore year, they didn't give up a point during the regular season.
Yeah. I remember seeing an article. They were like 18th in the country for 9-man teams or something like that.
Well, so then my junior year, we had 15 guys on our team, I think. It was like 15 or 16, and they had 12 seniors in 9-man.
Yeah.
And they just ran that like three in the back. And like you, in nine, obviously nine man, it's like a different game. But like in general, like when they run like that, all next to each other, it's like impossible to see who has the ball.
Right.
And then obviously, yeah, T-Roll running that on the goal line. That was sweet.
It was sweet. I just, they're feeding the horses right now. And
yeah,
it's really cool to see Hunter get his shine.
Yeah.
In a stable of a lot of good running backs, he's obviously shown that he's head and shoulders the guy.
Yeah,
I mean, like, the catch on the sideline, getting 2 feet in, like, he's doing it all. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about him, which is good. Like, he deserves all of it.
Yeah.
But with that comes, obviously, a little bit of negativity, and people are kind of just wondering what he's going to, like, if he's too much of a tweener or whatever. It's like, there's no such thing as, like, I mean, there's such thing as being a tweener, but if you go to a good football team,
yeah,
or go to a coach that knows what to do with you, doesn't matter if you're a tweener or not.
Yeah, I just,
you're just going to be a good football player.
Yeah, that's
what he is.
I thought about that a lot. Is he's just too good to not play football at the next level.
Yeah. Especially with all of the offensive minds, like, at the helm.
Yeah.
Even if you go to a bad team.
I don't think he'll be, like, a premier draft pick and, like, somebody no. they're going to snatch up, but he's going to be a really good football player for a really long time.
Yeah, if he's a late rounder, that's an absolute steal.
Yeah, and he's going to play specials. He'll go out and, like, I think about, like, Alec Ingold or Kyle Juszczyk. Those are the easy comparisons to make, but he can catch the football. He can run the football. He can block. He can do it all. And now there are more professional teams running with fullbacks than there are college teams, it seems like. So the shift is kind of happening again, and those lead blockers out of the backfield are becoming a high priority item.
Maybe the Niners will just draft him. They'll have him, Juice, Trey.
That'd be so sick.
All these guys. Kyle just says, screw it. Like, I'm just going to have two fullbacks, Debo and Kittle.
Yeah.
And we're just going to be, like, the nastiest team out here.
Can we talk about Kittle, by the way? I don't – and I hate the, like, I have him in fantasy. The big one is Kyle Pitts. People are, like, going to burn down Arthur Smith's house because he's a blocking tight end now.
Even though they're good. Like, the Falcons are – what are they, 1-3 now?
Yeah.
But they're, like – if you watch their games, like, their O-line is really good. They have a top 10 O-line.
Yeah.
It's just weird because they have weapons,
right,
like receivers. But it's, I mean, the other day they didn't have to throw it to them.
Right.
They were beating the Browns just by running the ball. So, like, why would you not run the ball?
But Kittle is so good receiving the football.
Yeah.
And he's not getting any targets. No. It's weird.
I feel like part of it right now is just the, because his groin was pretty bad.
Sure.
His injury to start the year. So maybe they just don't. I mean, not that straining on a block doesn't hurt your groin.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, the explosive movements when you're running routes, maybe they're holding back a little bit.
Who's the GOAT at tight end?
Right now?
Yeah. Well, of all time.
I mean, we're biased with Gates.
Yeah, but
like, him and I don't
think it's even, I can argue that it's a correct answer anymore.
Oh, are you thinking?
I don't think Antonio is number one.
No, probably not. But, I mean, Gronk did everything.
And that's where I think I have to put some respect on Travis Kelce's name.
Well, I for sure think Kelce does. I mean,
yeah,
some of the stuff he's doing.
But Gronk blocked like Kittle and caught like Kelce.
That's the thing.
Which is freaky. Yeah.
And, like, not that Kelce couldn't block. I mean, his brother is Jason Kelce. So yeah. I imagine that if he needed to block as much as Kittle, he probably has.
Who's probably going to go down as one of the best of all time in his position.
Yeah. That's a crazy family.
I think Kelce passed Gronk for either receptions or receiving yards.
Yards. He's like fifth all time now.
It's crazy. And he seems like he's in his prime right now.
Yeah.
Like, he has a lot more years left.
And he doesn't have, he has Pat.
Right.
Forever. I mean, Pat's going to retire after Kelce. So, like,
yeah,
he never has to worry about a bad quarterback coming in.
I feel like,
as long as he never takes, like, another contract for another team.
I feel like such an old man watching the Chiefs, bro. Because, like, it's not football. They, like, scramble around the pocket and, like, throw it behind your head. And, like, it makes me so mad, but you can't stop it.
No.
And
I don't know. It's kind of weird. I only get mad when they do that against the Chargers for obvious reasons because they're playing the Chargers. But when they do it to, like, other teams, I almost, like, feel a little bit good because I'm like, okay, at least they're not only doing that to the Chargers.
Yeah, and we kind of figured it out last year.
Well, even this, I mean, Kelce had, 35 yards in the first game in the Thursday night game this year.
Still lost. Doesn't matter.
You know what the craziest thing is about the receptions? Number one on that list, Tony.
Yeah.
He's at, like, 15,000.
Yeah.
He didn't have a quarterback in Kansas City.
No.
Like, no one of...
Who was it, Trent Green, maybe?
Yeah, no one that was, like, I don't know. That's another thing that we've talked about before. Those the starting quarterbacks list in like the early 2000s to mid 2000s are hilarious.
Yeah, I just like I think of like NFL Street 3.
Yes.
When like
Jake Plummer. I mean,
you could be like Gus Frerotte.
Yeah.
You know, it's
even Cutler. I mean, I don't really have an issue with Cutler, but I mean,
sure.
Dude was a starter in the NFL for like 9 or 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, notoriously just threw picks and I don't know.
Yeah, there is some bad quarterback play.
Same with Phil, I guess, but.
Don't talk about my king like that. Yeah. I saw Phil. He was on Pat McAfee's stream for NC State Clemson. It was good to see that he's living his best life. Speaking of living your best life, shout out to the lucky recipient of the 50-50 raffle.
Jesus.
Last week, $70,000 take home.
Just the whole game. Like, we're sitting in the stands, and it's hard. I bought 20, actually, for $10.
Sure.
Maybe it was the other way around. And this the whole game, you're just, like, looking up there because there's, like, update.
Yeah.
It's hard to pay attention to the game. Because then you're just thinking, like, what if I win?
Yeah.
Even though you know it's not going to happen. But
yeah, but if it did. But if it did.
$70,000?
Yeah.
I don't know how the taxes work on that, but, I mean, I would just get them pulled right away so that you can take home, what is it, like, probably take home 40.
45. Yeah, we're in North Dakota, bro.
$45,000.
Woo! I don't think Uncle Sam should touch your gambling winnings.
No, they should treat it like the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure the GoFundMe, you can't. Those are all tax exempt because it's gifted.
Donations.
It's all gifted money.
Let's talk about, you wrote, we could do two Mount Rushmores here, but Mount Rushmore of things we do with /$470,000.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if we have to like do the Mount Rushmore. I mean, it's pretty much anything you can think of, I would do for
$70,000. You know how I know
$70,000.
You know how I'm old though. The with question, I would like pay off rent for a year.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't do anything fun. I'd like pay off my car.
No, I think I would do car before loan.
Sure,
because I mean, loans, you never know. Like I always like I was talking to someone about the student loan stuff, and they were like, "What?" And this was before they did the forgiveness on it. It was like last year. They said, well, I hope to pay them off like within the next couple of years. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm paying the minimum on those until it's done.
Yeah, I've struck gold. It's been deferred my entire time since I graduated. I haven't had to make a single payment.
No.
Yeah.
I think they start in January, and I think we got to apply for all that stuff
before the end of the year starts.
But, yeah.
I'm just going to take those to the grave with me.
I don't even know if I'd pay off my car because I still have quite a bit left on my car.
But yeah,
I would just maybe pay off like half of it and then use the rest to.
I think I'd do a vacation.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you take home $40,000. It's not enough to like.
No, but
bring the boys to Cancun or something.
The peace of mind.
Yeah.
To have 40. Just an extra 40.
See, you don't get sage wisdom like this from any other podcast like you do from the Benchwarmers, but money doesn't buy happiness.
No.
But it makes you think about money a lot less.
Oh, I was watching at the gym, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Shout out to you going to the gym.
Yeah.
My skinny king.
On the treadmill, too.
Woo!
Come on. An old episode of Fear Factor was on the TV.
Yeah.
And I saw some of the grossest stuff I've ever seen. And I think I would do it if I was guaranteed the $45,000.
You're crazy. Absolutely.
If you were guaranteed, I don't know how those people did it. I'm pointing at the TV in the studio that has nothing on it. I'm just pointing at it because I'm pretending it's on there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that when you're not guaranteed.
When you have to compete
for the grand prize.
For the money. Yeah.
It's like, so you would do it and then people would just get eliminated.
I was listening.
If they didn't do it good enough. It's like, what is that?
I've listened to some podcasts with like game show people and they say you get a stipend like $1,000 a week or whatever. I'm sure. But I mean, they have to. You're not working for 2 months or whatever it is. But
do you know who the Mr. Beast guy is on YouTube?
Yeah,
I feel like you know he does like the he brings people like on now and like does like crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even the people that don't like win the prize that he like gives them the opportunity to win, he just gives them like $5,000.
Yeah, right. Like thanks for coming.
Yeah, like he says in the videos that he doesn't.
So
maybe he really doesn't. Maybe it's just 100%. You either win the money or you
don't. I doubt
it. But I doubt it, yeah.
I was listening to, because he seems like a nice guy. This is a weird conversation, but he has literally said, I make more money than I know what to do with.
Yeah, and like he just puts them back into the video.
Yeah, and like a bad video for him is 50 million views.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? That's Ross's guy, by the way. I think he knows.
That's him. What you told me the other day.
Yeah, shout out to Ross. Shout out to Mr. Beast. I know you're listening. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like I don't know what I would do. I would just like live comfortably for the first time
ever. Honestly, yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't do anything crazy.
Yeah. Maybe I buy like a super sweet like crib.
I would buy someone a Benchwarmers tattoo.
Nice.
If they got our faces tattooed on them, I'd pay for it.
Yeah. never mind.
Yeah, probably. Moving on to the actual football game. We're right about Youngstown.
Yeah. I just think no matter what, I mean, you don't, especially with Bo, I mean, they always played. I think Trev put in the chat that they lost at Youngstown in 2011.
Yeah.
But 2016, it was a close game. 2017, we went to overtime. It was a
super close game.
Went to overtime. That was the Jabril coming out party because CB got hurt, and I think Plank got hurt too. I can't remember. But we had a couple linebackers hurt, and Jabril had like two sacks. We just kept calling pressures.
Yeah, and then
Cam made a field goal in overtime.
Yes, and then Erzendowski caught the pass to either tie it and send it to overtime or whatever, but that was one of the best catches in school history that I don't think gets talked about. They're just scrappy, man. They know how to play the Bison tough, and they always do. It always usually results in fun games, trash talking, guys getting in each other's faces.
We just got off to a really hot start. It was hard for them to catch. I think, what was it, 17-0?
And what was that, 2019, when we jumped like 28-0 at the end of the first?
Yeah, first quarter.
Game's over for anybody.
Because I think Trey hit that bomb with Christian.
Yeah.
It was like second play of the game.
Do you remember?
It was so early. That was the game where they forgot my jersey. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah, and the funniest part, they were competing with each other inside the game. Like, if Christian was running the ball and broke loose, him and Trey and, like, Phoenix would race to the goal line to see who was faster.
I think it was Kobe because Kobe had a huge kick return. I think Christian tried to beat him to the goal line.
Yeah.
It's like when you...
Christian would put that stuff on tape all the time, like, just to humiliate when everybody.
I think, like, him and Ty would always go back and forth, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, he would, like, try to run next to Ty and, like...
Ty is not that fast. As fast as Christian?
I don't want to get yelled at by Ty.
Ty yells at me regardless. I could compliment Ty
because you're West Fargo
the whole time. Yeah, shut up, Larimore. But I mean, Pro Bison. Shout out to Christian for his first career touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, think
looked like he was jogging. By the way,
I don't know if it was. Is it Dobbs? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
87.
Yep.
I mean, he had a really nice block, but even without the block, I think Christian still, I mean, he just strolls in.
Yeah.
Well, that's the weirdest part about him. Like, him and Jabril, that was always, like, the way they run,
right.
Like, how fast they are, like, you can't, if they were just running by themselves on a field, you wouldn't be able to tell how fast they're running because their strides are so long. And like you said, it looks like they're jogging, but then you put them just next to somebody, and it's like, holy crap, like, levels.
Yeah, I just... I think that's a mark of a true athlete is the guys that look like they aren't running, but that safety from New England had the angle and Christian just to the pylon.
Bananaed him.
Yeah, whatever. Did the Lambeau leap, the whole thing. It's awesome to see. Shout out to Christian. Love when the guys are succeeding at the next level.
Looks much better in 9 than he would in 84. Remember that?
I disagree.
You think he looked better in 84?
I don't like 9. I don't like the single digit receiver numbers unless he was wearing 1.
Yeah, I guess.
That's just preference, I guess. But I think odd numbers look cool except for 9. 7 is bad. Okay, 1 and 3 would look cool.
Steve McNair's just rolling.
Stop! Don't even say that.
Nice.
That's the one. Good Lord.
Drew Brees, former Charger, come on.
He stinks.
Yeah, he was bad.
Fake Hall of Famer.
Has every got a record.
Stinks. Here's a couple... topics. I want to get into obviously the Missouri Valley expanded and we're adding Murray State, so we're still expanding, but
I forgot about that. I wonder why they're putting new teams in the conference. Are there going to be teams that leave the conference?
I hate the rotational schedule. There should be I understand the need for the rotational schedule, but there should be games that are untouchable.
Right.
And two of them that we're missing this year are you and I and Missouri State.
You and I, the mostly.
Yeah.
Just because it's
only,
been
only a, Missouri State because they're a decent good. Team this year. Yeah.
Well, that's always the weird thing, too. Like, what if, you know, what if NDSU loses a game, conference game here, and then we get to the end of the year? I don't know how many games Missouri State has won or lost.
Do you have any love for you?
Yeah. But, like, if we're tied at the end of the year, then you're co- whatever.
Right.
And it's because you, like, you didn't play each
couldn't play each other. Yeah. It's like the old, how they just declare somebody national champion back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bad radio. Come on, Quinn. Fill the airtime here. Can't type good. Say something. I hate you so much. Sorry. We're pulling up Missouri State's football schedule.
I think they lost to SDSU. I think they've already played each other. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's see. No, they lost.
Lost to Arkansas, but.
So, beat Central Arkansas, I believes.
Yeah, nice.
This, I hate Google's format. This is horrible radio. But I know they lost bad to UND.
Oh, really?
Which is not great, yeah.
Yeah.
Last week.
Well, then UND just beat the crap out of, was it Southern Illinois last week?
Yeah, so.
I think they were off this week. But
Missouri State's, what's wrong with me? Missouri State beats Central Arkansas first week, loses or beats Tennessee Martin, lost to Arkansas, lost to STSU, and lost 48-31 to UND.
Also, they're already probably out of contention.
Yeah, which obviously.
But I feel like they'll still be a good, like, that's what happened in the spring season, right? Didn't they lose to us, and then they literally didn't lose another conference game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard. But you and I has to stay. Just even if they're having a down year, they always play us tough.
Yeah, and I feel like
we hate them.
Right. And I feel like they've never been part of that rotation for us. I feel like we've always played them.
Right.
Did it just have to happen because of the new teams?
It must have to get us to play Indiana State and keep everything, whatever. But
because I think it's a 2-year thing. I think you miss them for 2 years.
Yeah.
So if we don't play you and I till 2024, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that stinks. I like playing the Panthers.
Yeah.
And watching Mark Farley be sad.
They've become like a formidable rival.
Yeah, for sure.
They only beat NDSU in this current run in 2014.
Yeah.
Whatever it was when David Johnson was there.
Yeah.
But the games were always close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and they're chippy and they,
yeah,
you know, that's
they play physical. I mean, yeah, them, SDSU, obviously, and then UND, obviously. But I feel like, yeah, they're definitely one of those teams that we should always be playing.
Yeah, I
doesn't make sense for us not to.
Well, I was arguing about this with my dad, and, like, he has a much more strict guideline for who he considers a rival. Like, you have to beat us to be a rival, basically.
Okay, well,
so like our only rival would be SDSU.
Well, then is Indiana State and South Dakota a rival?
No, but I mean, you know what I mean, like the bad blood mixed with like getting beat once in a while. I made this argument last year that UND isn't a rival, we just hate them.
Yeah,
because they stink and they always will stink. They'll always be little brother. But
well, here's
I consider you and I a rival.
Yeah,
more than I do UND.
The UND thing is going to be weird because, like, if we move up,
yeah,
I don't think they're ever moving up. They had to get rid of their baseball program.
Yeah,
they got rid of the women's hockey.
Yeah, they don't have the juice to do it.
No, so they're going to be FCS forever. I think the highest they're ever going to get is FCS.
Good, they can stay here.
And that's not me being a jerk. That's me being realistic.
Can we talk about how dumb UND fans are too? By the way, and they sit here.
Oh, buddy. I did some. I think I still have a screenshot.
No, I just want to talk because you sit here and, you know, you rag on NDSU's success and their JV and they play, you know, Little League football. Your team is in the same division and we beat you. Are you just like spitting in the face of one of the sports at your school that you say you love? Just a little critical thinking, please.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know.
We're not. It's not even close to UND week, but it's Indiana State week, so we need something to talk about.
Had to look some stuff up after because I knew we were going to talk about
receipts.
Yeah, I think. Okay, now it's your turn to talk while I look something up.
Okay. Yeah, I never understood it because it's like, you literally have people playing in the same division that you're saying you support.
But. So NDSU and Montana State
drew
1.322 million viewers in the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about it being JV, right?
Yeah.
Well, hockey, it's only one level.
Yep.
So it's not JV, right?
Correct.
It's going to be popular.
Yeah.
Way more popular than a JV football game.
Even though they're playing like Michigan Tech and...
Yeah. Well, the last time that UND won the NCAA championship in hockey was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled 541,000 viewers.
Yeah.
And that 1.322 million was the lowest natty draw in the FCS since like 2015 when we played, can't remember who it was. It was 2015 or 2014. Sure. Like our JMU rematch in the championship in 2020 was like 2.3.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can call it what you want, but yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, don't call it JV when more people care about FCS football than they do, like, Division I all-around hockey.
Yeah, I remember they played the whatever conference they're in to go to the tournament at the Shields Arena in Fargo.
Yeah.
And I think attendance was, like, 420 people.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody cares, I promise.
And, this is just me talking to people that – this is us clapping back at the people that are talking about NDSU. If you're just a – if you're just a UND hockey fan that loves UND hockey and you're, that's good. That's all that's fine. But like these people that go on Twitter and like, I mean, they got their goal because now I'm mad.
Yeah.
But they go on Twitter and they talk about how it's like JV football. It's like, well, more people care about JV football than your real sport, I
guess. While we're on this topic.
All right, let's go.
Let's yell. If you are a UND hockey fan and an NDSU football fan, get out of my face.
Oh, I hate that.
Cheer for neither.
Yeah. I saw a car with the two stickers.
Oh,
you better have kids on both teams or something.
Yeah,
or else that's
even sicko. Then that's even sicko. Then just put like the high school up.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
you can't like both. No,
no,
can't like both.
No,
like one college.
That's what sports are for.
Yeah, I hate it.
That's like I don't even know.
No, actually, this car. This person. I think they did it right. I think they were trolling.
Sure.
Because they had an SDSU sticker on the side.
Okay, yeah.
I think they're doing it for, I think they just think it's fun.
They're just like the Rob Lowe NFL. They're just riding from the Missouri Valley.
Oh, I wanted that hat so bad. I got to get that before we go to Nashville. Maybe that's what I'll wear.
Yeah, just the NFL hat. I'm going to wear a Missouri Valley hat.
Yeah.
That'll be even funnier.
I can't wait for UND week. Is that like the last regular season
game? I think it's definitely towards the latter end of the season.
We got to line some stuff up for that. I know plenty of people.
Yeah, Ross did the...
Not sure if they're bench warmers, but I know plenty of people that played against UND when it was a real thing. Like when it was a real rivalry.
Right.
That would probably have some words to say.
Yeah.
Because it's funny.
We need to get one of the old guys in here.
It's two perspectives. Because it really is. I respect the rivalry it was back in the 90s and early 2000s.
That's why I hate them.
Yeah.
Is from my dad instilling that in me.
I mean, NDSU lost the last nickel game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Now it's not.
Yep.
We didn't play them for however many years. Every game we beat them the two times they came to the Dome, it's been 35-7, 35-7, and then that spring game when Lupke went off, it was like 40-something to 12. Last year was close, but we'll talk about the visitor stuff.
Yeah.
They lull people to sleep in their
place is gross and they beat people down there. And that's what I think I talked to Ross about on the radio show one time is like, if you want to prove yourself as a good football team, do something on the road.
Yeah.
You barely beat Northern Arizona and you're going to go lose a stinker later in the year on the road somewhere.
It's funny because we've never played a playoff game on the road until Sam Houston.
Yeah.
And they lost that one in the spring, but it's like,
playoff game's different. The spring season was different. God, what was that?
But the reason we play only home games in the playoffs is because
we win.
We win every single road game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of road games, the boys are on the road to Terradice.
How do you pronounce it?
I asked Terre Haute.
Terre Haute?
Yeah.
Hate that.
I think I could be completely wrong. That's how I've always heard it said.
Terre Haute.
Definitely not that. It probably is.
Those
that.
Indiana I'm accents.
I'm being insensitive.
Do Indiana people have accents?
They sound like us.
Yeah. I feel like in my mind they sound like more like from the woods.
Like what people
Like the
you think they
like
sound
West Virginia?
Oh, jeez. Okay. I don't know. From the mountains?
Yeah, mountainy. Yeah. My my geography is bad.
You listen
too.
To Pat McAfee every day.
Indianapolis, yeah. I don't know.
Whatever. That place stinks. So we're going to talk about best and worst visiting locker rooms.
You never went there, right? Because I didn't.
No.
I couldn't remember. Because like my...
Because two-year rotation.
Yeah. Oh, and then we didn't play them in 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, never played them. Or never went there. But I looked up the stadium view.
Yeah.
Like the over. That looks like if you put a 12,000... One side of 12,000. It's just... It's a home stand. It's a grandstand.
Yeah.
It's if you drop that in Lemoore.
Larimore?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you dropped it in Larimore, Lemoore.
Yeah. It is, dude.
It and stinks.
Dude, a lot of these...
It doesn't even look like there's a campus. Like, I have no idea what... We should have asked someone, like one of the O-line guys that went there, what it was, like, what the walk. Because, like, we'll get into it, but Western Illinois...
That was going to be my number
that
one
That place
worst.
Stinks, too, but their campus was kind of cool. It sucked that you had to walk 3 miles dude. Across campus to get to the stadium, but at least you felt like you're actually out of college. That can Indiana we, can State, we, it can doesn't we even look like a college.
Can we change this conversation from locker rooms to just environment on the road?
Yeah, we can.
Because Western Illinois
I mean, that's part of it.
Is so bad.
Yeah. The only like good part about Western Illinois was the locker room because we were attached to basketball. So guys were just like walking in the basketball court area.
Yeah.
So you weren't packed in there.
Second on the list as far as environment is bad is Carbondale for Southern Illinois. The locker room is cool.
Oh,
the we had the pods.
That
the
might be one
room.
Of my favorite locker rooms because yeah, if you're obviously everyone's listening to this, each position group basically just had one of their own like smaller locker rooms.
Yeah,
so that was cool. I actually really like that.
Yeah, it was nice because like we could game plan and talk as an online, but also each guy this. Coming from a bench warmer, if you're not one of the premier guys, you're sharing lockers on most road trips.
Right.
Like, I think I split lockers with Cody or with you or whoever.
Yeah.
Getting your own locker was a luxury, and you had one at Southern Illinois.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before. Every guy has their own, like, routine.
Yeah.
But position groups kind of, they don't always do the same thing. But, like, me and you would go out there, but, like, we're, like, position groups kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't do them exactly the same, but they have, like, the same routine kind of. So it's nice that you could just go into your pod and, like, you didn't have to, like, worry about the DBs. Like,
right.
Like, yelling at each other or, like, joking around.
Yeah.
The receivers, running backs, you know, like, people that, like, probably are a lot different than you during a game day.
Yeah.
Like, just in a different mentality. It was nice to, like, go in there and just kind of – it kind of felt like just your meeting room.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like the O-line meeting room.
This wasn't in the Valley, but Delaware's locker room is the worst example of a visiting locker room I've ever been in.
Yeah, and I don't remember it at all.
It was...
I can't remember.
I mean, I think everybody shared a locker. That's how small it was. We had guys getting dressed in the shower area, and...
I wish I remembered that, yeah.
Delaware was bad. I just remember, like, stepping on dudes' feet, trying to get taped and all this stuff. Yeah. And do you remember Delaware... When we came out for our warm-ups, they, like, switched the music to non-pump-up songs.
Oh, really?
And they changed it to Beer Never Broke My Heart by Luke Combs, and we lost it. And I think they just knew, like, the worst mistake they ever made was playing Luke Combs.
So, I mean, this isn't too much information, and I'm sure the boys still do today. NDSU has a Country Music Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
And that song, I think, played... Three times.
Every time?
Every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, like, when they put that on, I'm sure, I don't know. I don't think I got hit in that game, but I can't remember anything from
you
that.
You gave up a block punt.
No, that was on Ross and Wiggs, Operation Time. Sorry, boys, but that I'm song not rocks. Taking the blame for that one.
That song rocks.
Yeah. But
was it Delaware at the Dome when you had the teach tape? When the dude knocked you over?
Blocked me in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach Cody Morgan
and he still
and,
has
and
that
Gazer
on the,
always kept that on the clip just to humiliate you.
Yeah, no flag.
Yeah, and there
was like one of the worst block in the backs ever.
And there wasn't like anything to learn from elsewhere. It wasn't like there were good releases on the line or good directional punting. It's just Quinn getting clipped.
It's just something that they could play for 15 seconds and then the last 2 seconds he could take the red laser and go head on a swivel.
Yep.
I'd be like, yeah, thanks, whatever.
Your head. Would have had to, I don't even, a swivel wouldn't even given you the range of motion that you needed. Yeah, that's funny.
I went to Eastern Washington. I heard that story last week.
Those are bad.
But that one was really bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, people know it's a locker room.
Yeah.
But it smelt bad before we even got there. And then you have guys changing, and then it's halftime. Like, and those showers, I think, if I'm remembering this right, there were six showers.
Sure.
Six shower heads total.
Oh.
I mean, it was a long, like, time before we got out of there.
That's a long flight back.
Yeah.
That stinks. I think you and I's are bad locker rooms.
Drawing a blank a little bit on that one, too.
Whereas it was just like a common area. Yeah. And they had the wood benches, right. And yep. It just wasn't good.
It was just weird.
You have to walk through the Unidome, too, like a long ways to get to the field, too.
Yeah. South Dakota's. It's like, I don't know what it looks like now because they redid stuff, but I don't know if they redid like underneath there. It's like a really, really small triangle.
Yeah.
And you're just squished in. Same thing. I think it's just benches.
I always heard like, reputation-wise, Missouri State's were horrible, but I think they renovated theirs.
Yeah, that's just, I think that's an environment thing, too.
Sure.
That's just one of those places where I don't know.
There's nobody in the stands.
I don't know if we've ever played, like, extremely well there. It's just always been like, hey, we want one by 17. Kind of close at half. And
I didn't play there in college, but in high school we went there and played a game against Grand Forks Central. UND doesn't have bad visitor locker rooms. They have the big.
Oh, really?
The big, like. Square lockers for everybody. You had hookups, and we're not asking for a lot in the visiting locker room, but just more than some of the
space is more important than condition.
Absolutely.
But if you have bad both,
not good.
Yeah. Cause like condition, I don't even care if it's brand new, but it's small, sucks.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, the oldest place ever, like you're in the catacombs, but it's spaced out, you can live with that.
Buddy. Not a permanent thing, but I feel so bad for the guys that had to go to Sam Houston and get dressed in a tent outside of the stadium.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You shouldn't be allowed to host playoff football games if your stadium is in that condition.
Yeah, you really shouldn't.
They were like pumping AC in and all this stuff. That had to have been horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure that really worked.
Yeah, right. It was like 100 degrees down there. I hate.
That's some JV stuff.
Yeah, that's
some real JV stuff.
That's like they're talking about Bailey Zappi, and he played at Houston,
Kentucky, but the place
Houston Baptist
played.
Or whatever. Yeah. And their parking lot for the stadium shared a parking lot with a CVS.
Yeah, come on.
Like, that's just the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Come on now.
But do you have a definitive worst and a definitive best? SDSUs weren't horrible. They're kind of in the middle.
Yeah, they were new, but they were
cramped.
A little cramped.
Yeah.
I really liked Southern Illinois. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the ones we went to.
Southern Illinois is the best, I think.
Yeah. And because, like, the walk, you just walked across the parking lot.
And they gave you a bench.
Yeah. I mean, worst is probably just all-around experience. I mean, locker rooms is tough because some of them are so bad that they kind of just blend in.
Sure.
Eastern was really bad, their locker room.
Yeah.
But that Western Illinois 7 p.m. start,
dude.
There's not much worse because if I'm remembering this right,
yeah,
we stayed an hour away from the stadium,
correct,
which was an hour away from the airport,
correct.
Like they're all in this triangle and everything's an hour and 15 minutes away from each other. Yeah. So like we flew in, had to drive an hour 15, and we have to drive an hour 15 to the stadium from the hotel. Then after the game, after the 7 p.m. game. Because isn't that when the offensive bus lost AC?
So then
And then like that's an hour and a half or hour drive to the airport.
I have a picture of Luke Bacon with his shirt off.
That's what I remember.
Not good.
But
shout out Luke Bacon.
Yeah. That like all around experience, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
We won the game plenty, but.
I think Western is at the top of my list, just everything involved. But the worst locker room by itself was Delaware. They had a cool stadium. They had the hedges and the mezzanine and everything. But
Youngstown's locker room is huge.
Oh,
that's
never went.
That's one. It's like it's the oldest. It feels like it. I don't know if they've done anything since the 80s. It's just all cement, but it is It's just one giant room with lockers surrounding it.
Oh, okay.
So I can get you had that. Your own, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so dark. There was like, it felt like there were like three lights in there. Like it literally, it felt like you were just in the tunnels. The
most Youngstown thing of all time.
It is. But it was obviously, it was nice. I've heard, I wish I would have experienced the Iowa, because obviously Iowa, they do like the pink lockers, which is like weird. It's like, I mean, it's a color of lockers. What do you think this plays such a big mind trick on people that you have pink lockers?
Yeah, that's an old football guy thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a pink locker room.
Yeah.
Illinois State was kind of just,
I feel like Illinois State's about average.
Yeah, but what I loved about Illinois State is you ran for six steps out of the locker room and you're on the field.
Yeah.
Well, as a fat guy going out, we're with the centers and quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The longer the run, and you're like, you're warming up for 60 minutes in a row at that point. Mm-hmm. So the least amount of running you can do, the better.
Yeah. USD's is funny because it's literally, you're walking you're walking out to the sideline.
Yeah.
So like that's how Youngstown's is just everything is underneath the grandstand.
Sure.
Their locker room's just on the other side, and then ours is on the opposite. So like that one was really close. That too. Western Illinois, the locker room is like a mile and a half
that from was the worst
field.
And like,
so you have to like walk through campus.
And the worst part is you get like 10 or 11 guys who are in shape and want to run. And then, like, everybody starts running.
What are we
like,
doing?
What are we running for?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I didn't play a lick in that game, but I was so tired just from all the running. I just want to get in general, too. We're headed to Indiana State this weekend. It's a different kind of thing, and it's really hard to go out and play bad teams on the road. All respect to Indiana State. I think they do have some stuff going for them, and it's a hard place to get – kids to come play and get fired up to play there. Our guy Gio did it. Got the boys fired up. But you can say it's a business trip, but at the end of the day, you do need a little bit of external motivation to get fired up to play a game like that.
Yeah. And when we did the recap show yesterday with Ross, he asked like what they'd be working on.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those weeks where every day they're just going to say, like the bring your own energy thing.
Yeah.
They're going to like during warmups, they're saying it during like whatever. They're like, they're going to say respectfully, but like coaches are going to be saying like this might be how many people show up
right
to this game. Like we got to bring your own energy.
It's probably an overestimation.
Yeah.
But I think
they've played some tough games though. I'm looking at their, pulled up their schedule while we're talking. So we didn't have to
worry. Proud of you, buddy.
Yeah. They played, they beat North Alabama. First game of the year.
That's not a bad win.
No. They beat him by a field goal in overtime, but still. Tough loss to Purdue, but Purdue's explosive.
Sure. They're
an explosive FBS team. Lost bad to Montana, but Montana.
Montana's good.
Perennial powerhouse in the FCS.
Yep.
And then they lost by six to Northern Iowa.
So not a horrible team.
No, I think they're going to be fine. But it is going to be the big, like, don't let this environment lull you to sleep, because this team is good enough to make it like close at half.
These are like the epitome of don't beat yourself games.
Yeah, this is big, like Coach Entz saying Bison versus Bison all week.
Right, and I've made this point a bunch, but when you play games like this, you're not – it's one of those things, and we talked about it after USD and everybody's meltdown that happened, but everybody brings up the Mac Brown quote when he's like, it was a relief that we won. It wasn't, you didn't get to celebrate the great feeling of winning, because winning was just what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is those games to a T, where if you lose, the world's over. But if you win, it's about how good did you play?
Yeah. And hopefully it's a good win. Cause like I said, this was the best this last week against Youngstown. I think everyone could agree. It looked like the most confident that they've been so far.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can just build off of that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No more slow first halves.
You can't take a step back in a game like this. Yeah,
not that they won't happen, but like just no more, you know. And I don't even know if we had any crazy penalties. I talked about that one with Gray.
The Gray one was bad.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Because blindside block is supposed to be the offensive player running
back
in the opposite direction.
Right.
He was running straight at him.
It was a great block. He
just clipped his shoulder and absolutely destroyed him. I mean.
Yeah, I just you want to see clean game penalty-wise. You want to see a clean game injury-wise. And I think if you come out with a W with those two things, then you consider it a good day.
For sure.
These games just have the markings of you breathe life into a bad football team and you give them momentum and they stick around and
yeah. They're annoying. And I don't know if scary is the right word, but it is a little bit like you said, like, oh, we really don't want this one to be close.
Right.
Whereas like when you're playing like good teams, it's just focusing on like whatever it takes to win the game.
Because how gross is it? We could like beat Indiana State by 14 and some poll voters would be like, is NDSU?
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's just like, I don't know.
Well, especially because, I mean, yeah. I mean, if we're talking NFL terms, this is a big don't look ahead game. Next week is SDSU already.
Yeah. That's where I mean more. You want to get everybody out there healthy, play sharp.
Right.
You don't want to take a step back and then have to go play SDSU.
Right.
That game is going to be bananas. I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I just got really excited for SDSU week because we are going to have a young man, said Ty Brooks, on this program. There's going to be a lot of censoring and cutting parts out. But yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good time. I'm excited.
Not a bench warmer, but, you know.
We had that conversation.
You had to switch positions to get on the field.
Yeah, yeah. You stink, Ty. Me and Quinn had this conversation, like, just before this. Like, when we even started just discussing this show and doing it, we're like, okay, we're only going to feature bench warmer guys. There aren't that many.
Yeah, and it's not like everyone's, like, pretty much friendly on the team, but it's not like we're friends with only guys that didn't play like we didn't
play. I'm friends with some guys who are like all conference players. Yeah. Like,
So it's slim pickings if you just want guys that didn't play. And
those guys are going to get their shine. The small list that we did have.
For sure.
But like Meatstick played a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't get him on, but we will get him on
eventually.
Yeah. I just think we have to dip back. This is a good idea for the UND. I'm just thinking out loud. We have to dip back to the old guys and maybe get Mr. Satter or something out. That'd be sweet. Who knows?
He doesn't like UND?
No. I'm just excited about SSU. You know, I'm looking ahead.
Yeah. Don't look ahead.
Don't listen to this. If you're still on the team, don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Nash, turn it off.
Don't listen to this. Please don't listen to this.
Yeah, don't actually just don't listen to it. Before we get into just a conversation about some of the Tua stuff and what that's like from a player perspective, let's talk about Tundra Insurance. You know, the Dolphins really could have had a conversation with you and Ross and ensuring that they need to protect what they find most important.
Yeah.
And I think you guys would do a great job, better job than their team doctors did.
Yeah, I think we would do – as far as, what do you call it? I can't remember now, but yeah, Tundra Insurance. You really
Get into the ad.
Yeah, Tundra Insurance located.
Horrible. Horrible transition.
You're not getting paid for that. No. You're going unpaid episode. Tundra Insurance located just south of Big Irv's and Horace. You'll see the big Tundra Insurance sign right next to the Bison Report sign.
Yep.
Handle all your insurance needs. Like we say, if you are going to one of these carriers that, you know, just promote their own insurance and don't use anyone else, I think you're taking a risk. Let us handle the quotes for you. We have over 20 different carriers that we can work with, and we, you know, do our best to find what fits your needs the most. Whether that's coverage or price-wise, we'll work with you. And you can reach us online. Just look up tundrainsurance.com, or you can reach us on the phone, 701-969-1661. You'll find a fancy voice messaging system that will take you to myself or Ross, and we'll go from there. We're excited to help out, and still pretty new in all this, but, we're excited, and we're here for you.
Yeah, I think insurance is something nobody ever really wants to talk about, but if it's somebody like you guys who are friendly and make the process more expedient and not a guarantee, but have a better shot at getting you better coverage, better rates. I'd always lean the independent way, and that's why I work with Tundra Insurance for Big Deck Barbecue and personally.
Let's talk about the Tua stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll just start it out here.
Yeah.
So you obviously know, and then like the guys that were on the team with us while I was playing, when you play football, especially now, back in the day, guys didn't even know what concussions were. They would just be like, well, you get dinged up, which is true.
Rung their bell.
Right.
Yep.
But if you grew up in the age that we did,
yeah,
we knew about concussions. Probably not the severity of what they do to you and like what happens when you actually get one. But
we
knew about them.
We were on like the very breaking of that stuff. We were playing.
By the time we got serious about football, like let's say sophomore year, freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
2013 for me, 2014 for you, whatever it is.
Yep.
That's when the kind of the war on football started.
Yeah.
As people like to call it, when that concussion movie with Will Smith came out.
Yeah.
Told the truth. Like, yeah. You know, that movie.
Yeah.
That actually opened up. I mean, I still know people now that like, and like you'll hear about it, like parents don't want their kids playing. Like it became a huge thing. Now the NFL has taken new rules, college, and we'll get into all that. But the reason I wanted to start is if you were a teammate of mine, you knew I always got taken very good care of, but I was kind of like, I kind of became like the guy with the head, I say I have a dumb head.
Yeah.
I got pretty lucky with injuries. I mean, I think, you know, I tore my meniscus when I was like a freshman in high school. Like still have no idea how, but it was like,
sure.
And then I got it scoped once in 2018.
Yeah.
But I got my first, and like we said, like dinged up, you'll get hit on some plays and that you'll be a little bit like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
But like if you consider getting like dinged up and hurt a concussion, then yeah, I don't know. Like I feel
and apparently
like,
that is.
Yeah. So that's tough. But like, well, I got my first concussion during fall camp 2018 and it was one of like the freakiest, like freak accidents almost.
Yeah. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It was, I was still a D tackle and I was playing an inside zone. This was like, I think it was like the third day in pads. So it was like sixth day of fall camp.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing an inside zone against Cordell, and I'd probably done it, like, at that point, hundreds and hundreds of times.
Right.
It's one of the easiest blocks for a nose tackle to do, or one of the easiest blocks for us to take on, mm-hmm. because we have all the inside position, and the O-line's just trying to keep us there, or at least that's how you guys did the zone back then.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'd probably done it, probably played that block 100 whatever times.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I play the block, and then I am leaning up against one of the water trucks talking to Bob.
Yeah.
And like, it's, and then I went back and watched it on film and like, I watched it once and I really didn't watch it again. All you see is me and Cordell's helmets hit each other. And then my knees just immediately hit the ground. So it's like, I was pretty much knocked unconscious. Like as soon as we hit helmets
and not like a car crash, violent helmet hit.
No,
he just like grazed you. And
yeah.
It was just
a weird thing,
which is fairly it's like you said, it's the most basic textbook common play that happens.
Yeah.
Helmets touch like in,
yeah.
when you're playing.
Like, yeah. We didn't have running starts on each other.
Right.
Like it was just both of us out of our stance. Both of us taking like a step and then hitting helmets.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. And I tell people all the time, I mean, I was lucky with like my body because nothing ever like really tore. But I mean, what I remember of those next few weeks, like those were like, it was a solid 2 weeks where light, sound, I mean, immediate like throw up. And it's just like some of the, it's the worst kind of injury for me because I went through it. I mean, I'm sure like guys that had like leg injuries beg to differ. Obviously, like you're going to probably, you know, stand next to like what you went through.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I would take a leg over the head stuff.
Yeah.
Just because like what we know about head stuff now, obviously I joke about it a lot, but in the back of my mind, I'm like a little terrified. Like who knows what it does, but I still love football and I know, and I don't want this to, and I got another concussion. My second official concussion was it was right before, I think it was during like the semifinal week of the playoffs in 2019. It was dumb. I was preparing to possibly be like an alternate Wisconsin style fullback.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
I don't know if, cause I think Kubis ended up doing it and I don't know if they were planning to squeeze me into 49, but that'd have been sick.
You would have looked sweet.
Yeah. But I was like we were doing this drill and
basically like a walkthrough.
No, cause it was 5-on-4.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't like a
team period. Yeah. Right. But I mean, Blasberg. It was full speed. Yeah, it was full speed. But I was basically the offset tight end for like a split zone, and I ran back across the line, and my job was just to kick out the D end. And I mean, that I looked at that one on film a lot. My head was like,
you're completely turned around.
Yeah, like the face mask of my helmet was just looking at the numbers on the back of my jersey, and I didn't lose. Like, I remember stuff, but like the one thing that was weird about that one was like I couldn't hear anything.
Right.
And I like realized that because like I heard, like, and Willis has told me before, I had like a couple of guys say, "You good?" Because I just started like walking.
Yeah.
And then like Blazek's like yelling at me, and all of a sudden I see just Bobby like run in front of me.
Yeah.
I remember all of that, but it was weird because like I just don't even like I couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
And I was out for like a couple more weeks there. But I just want to disclaimer this. They always took very good care of me.
Yeah.
And they never put me out there until I was ready to practice again or play again. And like as a player, like especially that 2018, 2018 was like the year I was trying to get into the 2 deep.
Sure.
And there were some days where I'd go in there and I would try to like, you know, pass these tests as hard as I could and like plead with Bobby and people like that I could probably do it.
Yeah.
When I knew I couldn't.
Right.
So like I got taken very good care of me. They were definitely looking out for my best interest, but.
And that takes me into my bigger thing with the Tua.
Yeah. That's why watching the Tua stuff is just like, it kind of like grosses me out.
You know, there's a lot of stuff with the, well, the doctor being fired is certainly a red flag that the Dolphins didn't handle it the right way, but I have some greater overarching thoughts on the whole like player safety thing. You know, you mentioned how you'd rather suffer from a torn ACL or something like this. And I think that's a retrospective thing because
yeah, for sure.
Now you and I were scratching, clawing and fighting to get on the field at NDSU. We would have, it's easier to fake not having a concussion than it is to fake not having a torn ACL.
Right.
And that's just how messed up the mentality is to get on the field for an athlete. And
yeah.
It's a competitive thing, and I think it's a toxic competitive thing because I think it was Gronk after all the targeting stuff came through in the NFL. He got hit low and blew his knee out, and he was literally like, I'd rather someone hit me in the head and right. I miss three weeks than sure. I blow my knee out and miss a year.
Yeah,
That's how you think as an athlete. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing. And what that means is there needs to be other people who are accountable for protecting the player from themselves. You heard Mike Tomlin was on, I believe it's called No Pivot or something like that.
Pivot.
Pivot. Yeah. And he's like, God, who was he talking about?
I watched that. It was like he was with Ryan Clark and them, but he was talking about a certain player.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. And he said, it was my obligation. It was Ryan Clark.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like, I can go back in. He was begging with Tomlin, I can go in. And he said, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if somebody let my son go out and play after I saw that.
Yeah.
And that's how people need to think.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel can get up there and talk about how he watched MacGruber on the way home with Tua and all this, and he's all good.
Yeah.
Man, you need to understand that your obligation is to protect players from themselves sometimes because even on a much lesser note, I tore my MCL before the Eastern Washington playoff game, and it was like that was my – people were hurt. I think Cordell was out. It was going to be my first chance to actually start a football game at NDSU, like what I had dreamed of since I had been there. And I was like talking to Mason, and there was no way to do it because I'd blown out my MCL. I was like, how can I tape this? How can I – what kind of shot can I get? What can I do to play on Saturday? And there was just nothing I could do. And it would have hurt me down the road for sure, you know, for injuring my knee further or something like this. But when competitiveness is put on the table, your own health and safety goes on the back burner. And that's what I think we saw with Tua. And it's gross that they got up there and said – it was a back injury and all this. And that's why if you see, dude, concussions are the easiest thing to see happen on a field. And they have the most signs. And you see, I remember seeing you in that in that drill when you turn around and there's just nothing behind your eyes and you're not responding to it. Dude, it's horrifying. And it's the scariest thing to see. And you see Tua get slammed on his head and he locks up and has this reaction with his hands, man. It's just like, that's when it all goes away and you're like, how is this going to affect this guy down the road? Well, and I don't know. I don't want to get on my soapbox, but it's a highly emotional thing to me because you get up there and it's all this talk about there's this macho man, is he tough enough belief in football that you believe generates success in the sport. You can be as tough as nails and your body just doesn't hold up, but It's literally your own body. It feels like your own body is betraying you and letting you not succeed what you want to. I don't know, the second concussion you talked about in that drill really hit home because it was like, dog, all we wanted was to go out and run out with the ones on Saturday and, you know, get in and play and be a rotational guy. And I would have hit a concussion if nobody saw me. I absolutely would have. How many did I have in high school, you know?
Right.
But now that you get done with it, you're like, how is this going to be to me in 20, 30 years? To put that burden on the player to make that choice, somebody else needs to protect them from making that choice.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thankful that they didn't. Like, that 2018, like, that happened in the first week of fall camp, and they basically told me, like, you're not practicing during fall camp
again,
which is like 3 weeks. So I'm like, what are you talking about, not practice? And this was probably 5-6 days, maybe a week after it had happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's been a week. Like, I'm going to be better in 2 weeks. And they're like, we'll see. Like, they pretty much gave me, like, you are not. Like, you're not, we're not, like, even if you pass stuff, they weren't going to let me.
NDSU has never messed around, in my experience, with head injuries.
No. Because it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's not, and that's why, like, the Tua stuff and, like, all the rule changes that, so, like, I talked about the beginning of that war in football that happened. Before that happened, head injuries and like knocking dudes out on the field was like,
oh yeah,
that's how the NFL made money.
Do you remember
it was in video game previews?
Pop the helmet off.
Yeah, it was in like they used them as highlights before like Monday Night Football started. Yeah. Like it was part of what the NFL was like dudes hitting, and it's still what it is. I mean, you know when you play football that stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I think the overcorrection that came with it also hurts because now in college, I mean, we could have an entire pod on it. We won't because it'd be like more yelling than the FBS stuff. But the kicking a college player out on a targeting call is insane.
Yeah, I want to dive into the targeting rule a little bit, but just like the overcorrection of like,
yeah.
If you've played football in your life before, you know when there's malcontent in a hit.
Yeah.
And you know when someone intentionally is going to knock somebody out.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, that's what I think they should do. And, like, this is where it's hard because now you're giving refs even more to look at.
Yeah.
But, like, intent should be part of it. It should be, like, one of the things that...
Okay, but...
If a guy comes in like Burfict did on Antonio Brown...
Kick him out.
For sure a penalty.
Sure.
But, like, I'm saying, like, it should even be, like, a... If they do it twice, kick them out.
Yeah.
But even
that's fair.
It should be hey, this is a warning for your kick out, but it's also a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
Because that was intent.
Do you remember back, like, when the NFL first started doing it? If it got reviewed and still got found that it wasn't targeting, it was still a 15-yard penalty?
Yeah.
We were in banana land meltdown time.
Isn't that what college is?
I think it is still.
Yeah. The penalty still applies.
And we talked about this.
But the player just isn't kicked out.
We were standing there in the stands talking about this, and it's like you have – there's two halves in every game. You play 12 games guaranteed every year. You're at around 90 halves for the rest of your life, and you're going to take two of those away from a kid for a mistake on the field. My thing is, if you're a repeat offender, and you and Trev always yell about this in the group chat, but like twice in one game, I think you can start having that conversation like, hey, this behavior needs to be corrected.
Yeah.
But like a safety coming down to make a play and the running back drops his head and they hit helmets.
Even when they both drop their heads.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think it's even like I don't know. It's tough to even say that it was intentful when it's, you know, when like quarterback, and Tom Brady talked about it. He said, my number one thing sometimes is to make sure I'm not always leaving guys out high and dry.
Right.
Because even that, if a guy makes a play on that and they just hit heads, to me, that's still trying to make a play on the ball because the ball is going to the guy. My biggest thing, the perfect, that one is because he's going to the ground and you're going in just helmet to helmet. And it's like kind of late. Like he was almost kind of on the ground already.
Yeah.
Or it's like the intent to me has to be so bad to get kicked out of a game.
I can't remember what game it was. I think Youngstown was playing an FBS opponent and quarterback fumbled the ball and just like kind of spiked it and was on the ground covering it. And the kid came in like a second after the whistle and just put the crown of his helmet to the ear hole.
Yeah.
That's like, dude, that's got to count for something.
But AJ Hawk too. I don't know. I say it's funny, but I keep talking about how head injuries aren't funny. He said too, like, the one thing about this too, there should not be any targeting. I don't know if there is, but like targeting inside like the five, like goal line plays, like I don't know if that should be a thing either. Because it's like you are taught to tackle high and drive your feet.
Yeah.
And like, what do you, if a guy's only play is to just dip his head and, you know, try to make a tackle on the one, you don't want him to do that anymore. It's his only job, especially if you're in the league. If you're in the league and you're getting paid for like, I mean, the first guy I think of is, I don't even know if he still plays with the Steelers, Bobby Spillane.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, he had a hit on Derrick Henry last year on a goal line play, and he actually didn't, he didn't let him score, but it was the most helmet-to-helmet thing you'll ever see.
Right.
And they didn't call it
because
they know it's situational. Because, like, sometimes it's something you have to do. It's like, that's why, like, the NFL, they call targeting. I don't even know if they have targeting. They just call unnecessary roughness.
Right.
Or,
With
a defenseless player, and they just call it a 15.
Yeah.
That's what the college should be.
Yeah.
It's what, like, because, like,
I think taking snaps away from people is kind of crazy.
Because just imagine that it's a, like, imagine it's this, and this is totally, like, I'm sure it's happened before, but like if you're a second year walk on and you got into a game because of someone else getting injured, you're trying your, like, this is your moment.
You need to make a play.
You're making a play and you get called for targeting.
Yeah.
And then like the guy is back the next week because of he's out.
It's bananas.
The kid's only, it was his only chance to ever play.
Right.
And he got kicked out because of a hit that he had to make because it was his only play to make on the ball.
Right. Yeah, make it 15 and then do the unsportsmanlike like where you get two of them if whatever it is.
The hard thing is just intent because now you're
– But it's also – we give the refs the ability to replay it, and you should be – like maybe it's because we can – and it's so subjective, but we've played football, and you know that like a safety coming to make a play on a hole shot on the sideline usually isn't with intent, but like –
If you played football or even refs, like even refs, they've been around football longer than we have.
Yeah.
You know what the intent is on every play.
Yeah. And
you should be able to figure
I
out.
I think the big
especially
one is
especially
like,
if they have the ability, especially since they have the ability to replay it.
Like when DNs come untouched on stunts and stuff and just put a helmet underneath the chin, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have a clean shot to hit them wherever. And I honestly think this has gone in. Because it's harder to teach fundamentals than it is to hit someone hard. I think that's why you're seeing the decline of, I don't know. NDSU has struggled with it themselves and getting people on the ground on first shots because you have to protect how you're coming in to make an open field tackle.
There's less of you have to hit them between the, you know, you have to hit
them. Do you remember Jabril's targeting?
Kind of. I remember Cole Karch got away with the targeting once.
Oh, and
it was against Missouri State, at home. Yeah. He had a sack, and he literally put his face mask to the quarterback's face mask.
Yeah, that was
bad. I think that was, like, somehow he didn't get called for it.
Shout out Cole Karch. Yeah. Skinny King.
Looks like Thor.
Yeah, he does. No, he doesn't, but yeah. Yeah, Jabril's, the receiver caught the ball in the flat. Like, faced up Jabril to try to juke him.
Remember that,
and Jabril, like, just raised his helmet and tackled him. And he had to miss two halves of football because of that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I like the idea of making it 15 and then, you know, whatever.
Then
you don't have to judge intent if it's review. If it's hit on a defenseless receiver, whatever.
Personally, I don't think anything should get you kicked out of a game. Even, like, my two thing, I think you should have to get – I think those should have to be late hits. Because even if you have intent, let's say you have intent, but it's during a play.
Sure.
Like, yeah, if you lower your head and the crown of your helmet hits their crown,
yeah.
But it's a one-on-one tackle. Are you going to call that a penalty?
But you understand. Because
it's during the game.
You understand, like, why they want to get.
I understand why they want to get it out.
I think one is nuts. Because, yeah. I mean, I played defense in high school. I remember wanting to light people up, too.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're just running around spearing kids in the side of the helmet, like,
yeah.
You should probably be taken out.
Maybe.
You're being big-time old guy right now.
Yeah. And I'm whatever. the one with the dumb head.
Yeah, whatever. I think that's just, yeah, it definitely needs to change.
The Tua stuff was crazy because of the series of events that happened, yeah. Right? He gets the head, obviously slams off. We get told, and like, I guess we won't 100% know. Yeah. It's hard not to think because we see the head hit the ground, gets up. Takes a spill twice.
I think it's being ignorant to act like that wasn't a head injury.
He goes down. When his head hits the ground, his hands go to his helmet.
Right.
He gets up.
He doesn't touch his back.
No.
He doesn't.
He gets up, goes to his knees twice, and then we're like, holy crap, like, you know, T's and P's to Tua. He's out there starting the next half, which is crazy enough. And, like, one of my biggest things, too, is, like, they have the NFL – college doesn't have them yet. Maybe they will. I don't know. But the NFL have these, they call them spotters.
Yep.
I think it's like three individual spotters, and they're not near each other. They're all up in the booths, I think, and they just look for concussion symptoms. I don't get how if you see concussion symptoms, and if people want to, and like here's the thing, I don't know what the NFL count, like, you know, we've seen like studies that they've said like, you know, the typical, like, oh, got your bell rung. That counts as a concussion.
Yeah.
I don't think that counts as a concussion for the NFL.
Sure.
You go into concussion.
Which is so weird.
You go into concussion protocol.
Right.
But, like, in my mind, if you're putting a guy in concussion protocol, personally, I think it's weird that they go back into the game.
Yeah, just keep him out for the rest of the game.
Yeah. It's tough.
Because here's the thing.
Okay, so, like, why did you put him in concussion protocol?
Right.
Because you saw signs of a concussion.
Keep him in there.
Yeah, so it's like, why are you letting them back out there? Cameron Brate. Two nights ago.
Yeah.
Then he went into concussion protocol, came out, and there was a close-up of him on the sideline. Nothing. Nothing there.
Right.
Dude was just, he looked completely lost.
Dude, you can absolutely get around and make it look, I didn't get one at NDSU. I don't know what it's like in the heat of the moment. At NDSU, as far as I saw, they just snatched your helmet. There was no question.
Yeah.
But you go into the tent, you can fake like you can get it because you're trained to do that, and you've probably done that before as an athlete.
And the Tua thing's weird because that doctor, it's the NFL now, they have their third-party spotters,
yeah.
No affiliation with the team, and then the doctor, no affiliation with the team,
yeah.
And really no affiliation with the NFL. I mean, obviously an affiliation because they're coming in to work for the NFL, but it's not a team doctor or anything.
Yeah.
It is a third-party doctor. I think they call them like UMPs or something.
Sure.
I don't know what the acronym stood for, but it's just someone that goes through the concussion protocol. That's not affiliated. It's not a team doctor. So it's not like a Bobby or a Mason for us. It's like someone else completely. It's like if NDSU just had someone from like a neurologist from Stanford from Sanford at the games.
Right.
Like that's what it is. So the fact that like we don't know 100%. They're doing an investigation right now on it. But if it comes out that, like, he basically just, like, said it was a back injury because, like, I don't know, to somehow convinced him to
right.
that he messed up his back.
How naive are you?
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And, like, how are any teams supposed to trust these third-party officials and doctors?
And the hard part about you can have every protocol in the book, but you need people to follow it.
Yeah.
I think the protocol has a lot to do with the NFL absolving themselves. Of what happened in the class action settlement after, unfortunately, former players.
Yeah, I mean, we know
we're diagnosed with CTE, and
we know. Like, I mean, we've talked about. I mean, I think we mentioned his name before, but some of the saddest stuff I've ever seen was Junior.
Yeah.
Senseo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy. He was his playing days. I mean, he played in. He was on the Pats undefeated team, right? Like,
yeah.
08.
I think so.
So like, unfortunately, I don't have a ton of memories of him like as a Charger.
Sure.
But, like, I have memories of him playing, and, like, my dad definitely made sure, like, I knew he was, he is a Charger.
Yeah.
So, like, I grew up with him, like, as a role model football player, and, man, the decline he went on.
Yeah.
Before his life ended
and
by
like,
himself. It's right. Like that, seeing that, And obviously, like, we don't know anything about Antonio Brown, but it just, you see videos of him on Twitter before, you know, his like back to back games with concussions.
Yeah, now,
and like, now he's just doing like all
it's the like crazy a direct stuff. Correlation to
it's hard not to think that doesn't that isn't correlated.
Right.
You just see the effects that it has now.
And the hard part is I've heard Chris Long talk about this before, and he's a mental health advocate in the NFL and good former player, but he talks about like don't blame it all on CTE. Some of these guys are just garbage pieces of human
for sure
too. But like for everything that you think you're protecting a player from, it seems like the NFL and the NCAA are missing the mark as far as protecting them from themselves.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Junior Seau was a middle linebacker in the 90s, in the early 2000s.
Dude, that stuff's going to happen when you play football.
Well, then they, like, you know, they donated his body. When they cut him open, I'm pretty sure, I mean, this is me trying to remember something, but I think they said, like, oh, yeah, this is, like, one of the worst we've seen as far as like CTE.
Right.
So it's like, but I don't know. There's nothing. The only way to prevent it is to take out the hits.
Yeah.
Can't take out hits when it's football.
Yeah. And I think that
you can make rules like you can. And obviously they have, that's the thing they have. And I still love the NFL more. I still love the NFL now. I mean, the game's a lot different than it used to be.
Yeah.
But like this is kind of the football that we grew up with.
I think it's a vicious cycle, right? Cause like you tell the players, and there's so much pressure to get on the field. Look at guys like us. If we finally did start playing in, let's say, 2019, and we were on the field for a lot of time, are we going to hold ourselves accountable after a head injury?
Absolutely not.
No.
Not unless it was, like, the one where I was actually knocked out. Like,
right.
Hard to hide that. But.
So there's obviously a risk you assume playing football at any level. And you can say hold yourself accountable, but what are the repercussions of that? And you can say in the grand scheme of things, it's bigger to give up playing time than injure yourself further. But when you're playing, it's not.
No.
And we played hurt every week.
Even when you're close to playing.
Right. And I don't know. It's hard personally because NDSU took care of everybody, I feel like. And there's probably some, I don't know. I didn't experience the concussion protocol at NDSU, but it's the vicious cycle of, hey, you need to do everything you can to play. There's pressure from external sources, whether that's coaches, parents, fans, stuff like this, to get out there and suck it up. And then you get stuff like Tua happening because you're the competitor and you learn how to fake not being hurt and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's tough because it's like I said, like you need hits when it's football.
Right.
I mean, the point of the game is to tackle somebody to the ground.
Right.
It's not like head hits are never going to happen. And like, if you're a player, you know that they're going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's why my biggest thing was like, if it's a late hit and it's to the head.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, penalize them and do all of that. But yeah, it's tough because like, you don't want to take all the physicality out, and
it just seems
we are trending towards that a little bit. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see what this Tua thing does. Cause it seems like this might cause quite a bit of ripple effects.
It just seems like like most structures and units of power, they're doing things that they think are solving the problem, but they're not really.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what's happening in the NCAA and the NFL.
I mean, it was big in the NFL this year during camp with those freaking guardian caps.
Yeah.
Those are like the most annoying things. We started having them in 2019. Yeah. Cause it was only when I played online.
I think they helped,
but they probably did. They looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like after a week of them,
you're
just like, whatever.
Unless you're Zeej.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I mean, he just ripped it off.
Ripped it off, threw it under the stands.
He would just always say that it didn't fit on his helmet.
Yeah.
It's like we all have the same helmet.
Yeah. The worst is they would take it off on Thursdays and you were like responsible for putting it back on. But
best part about getting a concussion?
What are you saying right now?
The vices.
Oh, you got the nice helmet. Oh,
those,
I got it.
I call them concussion buckets. Like
it's the most comfortable helmet I've ever worn.
As soon as a guy got a concussion or like was in protocol at NDSU, next week, that was a snap, sorry. Next week they are in Avisis.
Yeah.
And like Avisis is just one of these newer helmets that's supposed to help prevent concussions. when guys would take breaks, usually, like, you see a guy go to the sideline and take their helmet off. Yeah. I kept that thing on as long as possible.
It was comfy.
It was like a nice, comfy pillow just always around my head. But, yeah. Now you're seeing those.
I got one without a concussion, so.
Wow. Privileged. But now you're seeing all these helmets. Those, like, new ones that look like a, they look like Power Rangers. The one that, like, Zeke has.
Yeah, they're weird.
They're very weird.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't even have a, like, it doesn't have a face mask on the actual helmet.
It's just covering the mouth part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think that wraps up about everything that we wanted to touch today.
Highs and lows a little bit.
Yeah. And get back into my my company's ad here. Get this ad read that's brought by Big Deck Barbecue. New packaging is out on shelves. Exciting new stuff. Don't be afraid to go grab a new bottle today. Same recipe, same size, same everything. Same it's just sauce. A more user-friendly package. We're excited for everybody to get those. We're still running a sale on BigDeckBBQ.com, BigDeckBBQ.com. 30% off, clearing out the old packaging. Just need to get it out of my hands.
Holidays coming up.
Yep, we're going to have gift packages, all that stuff. That'll be announced later. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate you tuning in. That's all I got.
Go buy some.